Okay, we're going to take your stories now, your incredible stories of the supernatural. Our special guest tonight, Jessica Maxwell, author of Roll Around Heaven, and we're all next on Coast to Coast AM. Jessica, where did you get the title, Roll Around Heaven?
Well, my mother was from Texas, and her mother was from Louisiana, and her mother made the best chicken and dumplings in the world, and my mother could never make the dumplings hers taste like her mother's, so she'd be rolling them out, and it wouldn't be turning out right, and she'd say, well, you can roll around heaven, honey, or you can roll around hell. The choice is yours. So
she made them too doughy, didn't she?
Yeah, she wanted them flat and firm. Don't ask me. I don't know how to make dumplings, but yeah, she was never happy with them.
It takes a special art to make dumplings.
Do you make them? It sounds like you do.
I've been experimenting once in a while. Tell me about the Christmas soldier.
Oh, the Christmas soldier. Well, he is my father-in-law, and his name is Hank Anderson. And Christmas Eve, 1944, he was a 19-year-old sergeant on a troop ship going from England to Cherbourg, France, to be cannon fodder for Battle of the Bulge, right? And the ship was torpedoed. And it was torpedoed moments before Hank, who loved music, and in high school he had a band called Hank's Hepcats, and he said, let's get out of this miserable hold. It was rough, you know, winter, and he said, let's go up above decks and let's sing Christmas carols. And every guy who thought that wasn't cool died. He went up with a group of guys, and all those guys survived, and there was only about 150 out of almost 2,000 men. And, it's very dramatic. It was hushed up because it was the first Christmas since Western France had been liberated, and nobody was watching the harbor. So it was British, I think they're called corvettes, little boats came out, and you had to jump from this tall, basically a cattle ship, down to these little boats, and guys were panicking, and the boat was going down, and you can imagine the chaos. And so Hank, he made it, and then he would time it, and he'd go, jump! And he got eight of his guys, he was a sergeant, off the boat and saved them, and then he passed out. And he woke up in the bombed-out Cherbourg Maritime Station, and he saw a blue sky, and he thought he was dead and in heaven. And then he remembered what had happened, and he said they were all just completely in shock, traumatized zombies. And back then the army was segregated, and the African-American soldiers were the quartermasters. And they heard about these young guys, and they sent trucks over, gathered them all up, took them back to their camp, fed them their Christmas supper. And as they were eating, they stood in a circle around them, and they sang Christmas carols and spirituals to them. And my father-in-law says that the horror of what had just happened to him and the horror of the entire war, of war in general, lifted off him like a veil. And he said, I went from hell to heaven in 1 minute, and I never left. And he became a minister because of that, a very progressive, very beloved Midwestern minister because of that experience. I would say he became enlightened. He was so wide open, he got zapped. He wouldn't use that language, but I do.
And you're a believer in angels now, too, aren't you?
Well, remember, I don't believe, I know.
Yeah.
In fact, we have to tell you about the spinster, the one I was talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
So I go out to breakfast with a girlfriend, and I tell her this, and she's laughing. She goes, oh, you must be doing better spiritually. They're sending you old angels, you know, that can't hear very well and kind of blobby-shaped. And so we thought that was funny. I come back to my apartment, and there's a message that my dear friend, her name was Hazel Wolf, had died that night, and she was 100 years old. She 102. She was born in 1898. And she wanted to live in three centuries, and she made it. And, you know, the word the spinster, the elderly look of this so-called angelic being, That's the kind of evidence that I like and that I put in Roll Around Heaven, because this isn't just, you know, a fairy tale. This is right here, right now, all around us.
Yeah, sure is. Let's go to Houston, Texas. We'll go to Jose. You're up with us. Hey, Jose.
Hey, George. How are you? How are
Good.
You, Jessica?
Hi, fine.
Hey, when you first started telling the story with the first red light being, I was just sitting here laying in bed listening to the show, and then the name Angela just popped in my head real quick. And I checked, and that's one of your angels. So the first one was named Angela.
Oh. You mean the name of that one is named Angela?
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, the first one that you mentioned. So it just came to me. The names come to me like out of the blues, and it's usually somebody's angel that angels, like their name that usually comes to me. So.
Wow, that's a gift too.
Yeah, it's something I've been working on the last year, and it's just sort of like you. I wasn't seeking anything spiritual or anything celestial, and I did a past life regression, and boop, they were my angels, you know. So, and ever since, it's like I've been learning more about them, and you know, hearing them and talking to them and stuff. And and right when I was here, you know, this call, for example, is a perfect example. I said, okay, guys, get me through. I want to be the first one on tonight to talk to them. So.
And voila.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been pretty wild.
Well, it is wild. And it's especially wild, I think, like us, if you weren't looking for it and weren't hoping for it, and then you begin to experience this. And I like to say, you know, for people who think, oh, yeah, you know, I like to say, well, you know, it doesn't seem very smart to kick the dog for hearing the dog whistle. You know, I mean, the light spectrum, if we say it's a foot wide, what, Mr. Norrie, we see what, a little inch of it? You know? And so these are just other dimensional entities that exist. They're just not on the congealed light plane, you know. And I think, don't you think that, I think people, what we would call primitive people, I think they saw. I think they knew. I mean, they knew that there were nature spirits and there were a spirit kind of aspect to all these beings that we call living sentient beings.
They knew more than we did.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Next up, let's go to Mary in Dayton, Ohio. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering, once you have had this gift and you damn it because it's so painful, you lose it, is there any way of getting it back?
Did you damn it because you were afraid of it?
No, it was too painful.
Oh, too painful. Okay.
I would get excruciating headaches and have to go to bed, and I couldn't even stand to breathe myself on the bed. I just kind of went into a three-day, four-day, I don't know what you would call it. I couldn't move, didn't want to eat, didn't want to drink, nothing.
Well, what was the experience that precluded that? I mean, what did
it was always a sign of death, but I never knew who it was, and I always wondered who would it be.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason I would like to know is because I need to talk with someone. I've lost my only son. His son had him cremated. I begged for a thimble full of ashes, and they wouldn't give me anything, and they won't tell me where he is.
Oh, dear.
And I know, well, I'm sorry. I just, it isn't a matter of turning him loose. I know he's with me. He collected the matchbox cars all of his life. And I'll find one in the kitchen drawer or, you know, someplace totally unexpected. And I know he's with me. He had the great white American bulldog, and his big boy goes about 140 pounds, and now we have four.
No, it's funny, Mary. Let me tell you this too. I don't collect Matchbox cars, but today in my house, in my drawer, there was a little green one there, and I have no idea how it got there.
You're kidding.
No idea at all.
Oh dear God.
You know, this is like the little old junk drawer where you put everything in there.
Yes.
I've never put one of those cars in there. I don't own them. There it was.
Well, I've lost the cartilage in my knees, and I'm in a wheelchair at the moment, so I can no longer drive. I'd give my teeth for an old beat-up pickup truck or a van so I could be independent again. But
sure.
These things come, and I cannot explain them. But one experience I had was my day off, and the kids wanted to bake. So I told them, you know, we would do that, and I have three daughters, and they were each allowed to invite a friend. And the long and the short of it was, in the morning, I started with this horrendous headache, and all I could hear was glass, tinkle, 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 glass falling. And I told the girls I was sorry. They were going to have to play something, you know, at the dining room table for a while. I had to go up and lie down. Well, after a while, I got up and came downstairs here, and I was thinking of doing something for supper, and the long and the short of it was this pain struck me in my arm, and then the God's truth, I heard this tinkle, tinkle, and I thought the glass would never stop breaking. So I flew to the basement where the girls were playing.
Oh, dear.
And one of the girls had shoved, and she did it accidentally, had shoved one of my girls into a bathroom door, but the door had been painted completely, but the, you know, and the glass, it was in it. And it severed, well, anyway, we had an awful time getting her to the hospital. And it's things like that that, as I said, they would be on my mind, and I knew something was wrong, and I would pray, you know, bless whoever and help them. But I've always, my grandmother told me I would, if I grew older, I would find someone who could and would help me, but I haven't. And as I said, this has gotten just too painful. And I'm alone now, and it worries me, and truthfully, it kind of scares me, because I just don't know, and maybe I'm not supposed to know who's next, okay? I understand that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I need some guidance.
Well, you know, if I were you and I was trying to sort this out, this is the kind of thing you really could call the person I call the Holy Pig Farmer. He really is a counselor and a spiritual counselor, and you can trust him with your life. And he's seen it all and heard it all, and
Will he talk to people? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can go on his website. The best way. I would go to. Do you have a pen?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mary, was that your name?
Mary. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I would just go to his own website, which is Lori, Lory.
Uh huh.
Meisel is his last name, M like Mary, ISEL.com.
Why don't you give it to her one more time, Jess?
Okay, Lory, M like Mary, IS like Sam, EL.com.
And there should be a way to get to him that way.
Yeah, there's a phone number there, and if you want, I can I just have to turn on my cell phone, and I can get it for you if you would rather.
Well, we'll do that. We'll take a few more other calls here before we hit the break. We'll go to Ed, truck driving in New Jersey. Go ahead, Edward.
Yes, I was just listening to your guest there, and sounds to me like she's very spiritual, and I experienced, my mother died when I was very young, and whenever I get into a tight spot of some kind, or I'm getting ready to get into a tight spot, I'll hear a voice, and it sounds like my mother's voice.
Mm.
And it's about the only way that I would ever do something on an anonymous, I call it anonymous tips. For example, I called George about this one night. I had three different instances in the very space, as a matter of fact, on this very highway, headed the other direction, where I was literally told three times to do specific things. Mm-hmm. And had I not done them, I'd have killed somebody, or I'd have got killed myself. Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
That happened to my mother when my sister and I were little girls. She was driving up, she told me, I don't remember, she was driving up a blind hill, and a voice, and it didn't sound like a voice she knew, but a voice said, get in the other lane. Now, you're in a blind hill, and it's telling you to get on the oncoming traffic lane, and she did it, and we would have had a head-on collision with this little old couple who were they were driving on the wrong side of the road. That's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Has this increased your intuitiveness, Jessica?
Yes. You know, I was going to say to Mary that one of the things I think we don't do is ask. It's so simple, but to really just ask for help and ask to be guided and ask to be told. And, you know, the more we open ourselves to, I think it is spiritual, and it's the help that is there, the more we receive it. And what the Holy Pig Farmer says, he's the most gentle, good guy you can imagine.
I still can't get over that, the Holy Pig Farmer.
Isn't that funny? But he says, you know, the energy of God, and I know God is a loaded word, and I think you can put in any word you're comfortable with, but he likes to use God, and he's comfortable with it. So the energy of God is always peaceful and cooperative, you know. And that's why I think if Mary calls him, he can guide her, because she obviously has a gift, but that would be pretty spooky, you know. But, you know, like, now here's something for our friend who's driving right now. This morning, my best friend Randy, and she's like Ethel to my Lucy through the whole Roll Around Heaven story.
Sure.
Her mother had to go into some very serious surgery, and she's 86, and there was at least 50% chance she wasn't going to make it at all. And this morning, Randy's sister saw, I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was some golden circle in the sky, and heard their father's voice, and he's gone. And it said, let the day unfold. Just, it's going to be fine. Just don't, you know, everyone was so worried. And she made it through with flying colors. She was just fine, my best friend's mother.
Let the day unfold again.
You know?
We'll be back with more. On our next Coast to Coast program, Roy Vargasy and Raymond Moody join us, Life After Life. Fascinating program. When we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Jessica Maxwell on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll take your final calls with Jessica Maxwell. Jessica, Roll Around Heaven, where do you get the book?
You can get it everywhere, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all your local independent bookstores. We got to support them. It's national.
All right, back to the calls we go. David in Victoria, British Columbia. Hey, David, go ahead.
Oh, hey. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Where was I? I thought that, is Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
That Jessica might be interested. I had a vision of a deity back when I was a young man, a number of years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But this probably would have been 1973 or 4. And I was lying in bed in that kind of state between sleep and wake before falling asleep. And I opened my eyes, and the room was filled with sort of a gray non-light from without a distinct source. And there, standing to the right at the foot of my bed, was this Grecian togaed feminine form with a helmet and a lance and a shield and gold embroidery and this owl on her shoulder.
Whoa.
And the owl, I remember, had these super orange, piercing, like lit up orange, bright light eyes. And it was like one of those classic kind of sleep paralysis things, because I couldn't move. And I was starting to get a little worried about that. But and then I managed to modify, because I knew enough about meditation to relax my breathing, and I monitored my breathing to the point where I totally relaxed. And I was able to tap my leg and thought to myself, well, I'm awake. It's still there. So I said, hello, what can I do for you? And poof, it disappeared.
Oh, my.
And I figure it was Athena, actually.
Yeah.
But I often wondered, did I say the wrong thing? But I figured I said the right thing, and because I kind of ended up in my life kind of taking a fairly strong spiritual path and teaching tarot and some magic and stuff with a lot of women students. So I think it kind of was more a sign, but it definitely wasn't, I wasn't asleep. So,
No. You know you're not asleep. Well, you know, I went in the book, in Roll Around Heaven, there's a chapter called What I Owe Iona. And Iona is a beautiful, considered a very holy island in the Inner Hebrides of Scotland. And it's where an Irish saint called Saint Columba brought early, early Celtic Christianity back when it was worship nature and everyone was born good and femininity was worshipped and respected. And I loved being there so much, I took my husband and some friends in June. We went back and studied with this J. Philip Newell, who teaches early Celtic spirituality. And one of our friends is a medical doctor with a very scientific background, very open-hearted, big-hearted, wonderful man, but he'd never had the sort of experience you're talking about or that I've been talking about. And you do a little session where you learn a little bit about the history of Celtic spirituality, and then you go outside into nature and you contemplate that, and you come back, and if anything has come to you, you can share it with this group of about 35 retreatees. And our friend, his name is Martin, came in, and he was white as a ghost. And I said, "Are you okay? Are you okay, Martin?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Those flowers out there, though, they were all telling me they're God. They were telling me. I mean, I heard them." And I'm like, "Here we go." And we are now calling this the Roll Around Heaven effect, the Ra effect, because this story is not my idea. This whole compilation of these 16 years worth of experiences like you're seeing Athena was nothing I ever asked for. And I think that there's a real authentic enchantment woven into these stories. And now what we're hearing is that when people read this book, read these stories, I think it's, I don't know, opening them to or giving them permission. But we have just heard one story after another. Another guy who worked for Bill Gates, Mr. Computer Guy, totally, you know, hard-edged science guy. And he had read about three chapters and was awakened that night. It's a husband of a friend of mine. And the light, their room was filled with light. This is brilliant light, as you said, without a source that we could call a source, like electricity or something.
Sure.
And he said it, and it was like being in the heart of love, pure love. And that morning, he asked my friend, he said, "I'd like to go to church somewhere." Now, you know, I'm not saying going to church is the be-all, end-all, and of course, if they went to one, it would be a very inclusive kind of place. But it changes you forever when you experience something like that. It sounds like it changed you, too.
All right, Santa Barbara we go then. Diana, west of the Rockies. Hey, Diana, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Mr. Dory. and Jessica. Hey, I wanted to share with you about 20 minutes after my mom passed away in the hospital, I went out to the patio, and I was all alone, and all of a sudden I hear Diane, and I look, you know, see somebody come into the patio. No. And so I just took that as being from my mom. And so that really was just like really awesome and everything. But almost trumping that was my sister. She the last thing my mom said to her was, smile for me. And this gives me goosebumps even now. But she was walking through a parking lot, and just out of the blue, she sees this car with the written in the dirt and the wind in the window. You know, people write "wash me" and stuff like that. Well, it was written in there, "smile for me."
Oh,
isn't that amazing? So yeah. Then my other sisters, they had experiences too. One was, you know, just very subtle, but you know, still comforting. So we're really peaceful. And it's an amazing thing when you can get peace. Even with somebody dying, you know, just the worst thing you can imagine, you know.
Yeah, I know, and it's the most, I was going to use the same word, it's so comforting. And I think, you know, maybe one of the big offerings with all of this discussion is there's comfort available. I mean, you know, this is a suite of evidence that if we could collect it all, would go on forever. And it's leading, or not leading, it's proving that, you know, what we've been spiritual teachers and seers and, you know, have been trying to teach us forever. It's not the end. The body isn't the whole story.
Well, and you know, Valerie, since you mentioned about the light and everything that you can't explain, it made me remember that sometimes when I'm in prayer with the Lord, I get this, and not having looked at any light, you know, and I've got my eyes closed and it's nothing conscious, I totally get like this kaleidoscope of light in my head that is unbelievable.
Isn't it beautiful?
And every once in a while that happens, and I'm just like, nothing that I've, you know, love, no singing, nothing, you know, nothing that's just normal. I mean, that's out of the most ordinary day, you know, and those kind of things are just
unbelievable. Do you know you just called me Valerie?
Oh, Jessica, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no, Valerie's my sister. She's the one who saw it, too.
Oh, that is so weird.
But you never mentioned her name.
I have, my whole life, I've gotten Jessica and Valerie, and I have a cousin named Jessica and a friend named Valerie. And for some reason, I intertwine those names.
Wow.
They're not even similar, but yeah, I guess that's kind of interesting that Valerie would be your sister's name. Wow.
She was my enlightened witness on seeing our dad's face, so yeah, that's most appropriate.
Thanks, Dan. I want to know how the matchbook car got into my drawer.
I do, too. How about that?
That's strange.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's strange. Wonderful.
Thanks, Diana. Let's go to Bill in Patterson, New Jersey. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, George.
Hi.
George, you got a great and unique show. There's not one like it, I think, in the whole United States. And Jessica, you are a pretty lady. I'm looking at you on the internet on Coast to Coast.
Oh.
And you are you Scotch?
Yes.
Well, then I'm going to say to you, "Tis a braw brech moonlech back to neck."
You can't say that on the radio, Bill.
Yeah, no, that's good, George.
I'll say, well, I don't again.
I just want to say to you, here's what happened to me. It was 1974. My dad had passed away, and we were summoned to the hospital about 5 o'clock in the morning, the whole family. And, of course, he passed away. He had a smile on his face, and I walked out of the room, and I felt this incredible euphoric feeling come over me. It just was such a nice feeling that I had. And then a couple of weeks later, I was in my office, and it was a rainy day. And I was laying on a sofa. I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and my dad was looking at me with a smile on his face. And I put my hand up, extended my hand, and I says, "Dad, Dad." And he disappeared. And the uncanny thing about this is that about 2 years later, when I spoke to my aunt, who lived to 100, by the way, she told me that she had had a visitation by my dad also, and we had never discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is, there is, I definitely believe that, as you say, that when people pass on, we either go into a light situation and we go into a, it's a, like a loving thing that it's indescribable, really, mm-hmm. just a good mm-hmm. feeling.
Well, you know, Anna, you've made me think of something, and Mr. Nori, tell me what you think of this. I forgot to finish the story with our friend, the doctor, who had heard the flowers speak to him, and then that night he was visited, and for the first time in his life, by a light being, and it was in the shape of a monk. And he's looking at it, and he's trying to figure out what it is. And then he thinks, should I protect my wife from this thing? You know, he gets into the left side of his brain. And I'm thinking, you're the second person who, when you spoke, and speech comes from the left side. And I believe, I don't think this is very original, but I think you have to be in the right side of your brain to access, you know, these realms. And maybe when we speak, we're shutting off the access part in our own minds. What do you think?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Time for a few more callers. Payne, Ohio, we go. Hello, Jamie. You're up with us. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hello. I just have, well, first of all, first-time caller, short-time listener. Let me tell you first how I got to be a listener.
Sure.
My son's a wrestler, and I have his medal hanging on my rearview mirror. I hit a bump. I deliver newspapers in the morning. I hit a bump that I've never hit before, and it made my radio go to AM. And morning, I listen to you.
That's great.
Very awesome.
That's wonderful.
I have a spirit in my house. Very good spirit. Never had any problems. He will do silly things. He takes our silverware until there is down to each one of us having one fork, one knife, one spoon.
Wow.
We don't know why, but then when we get down to that one, he'll, by two, put him back in the sink.
Wow.
We have no idea. I'm sorry?
I was going to ask, does this happen while you're sleeping at night, I guess?
We're not sure when they disappear. We'll go to get something out of the silverware drawer, and there's like, okay, where'd all the spoon go? And it's like silly things like that. And he will also come into our rooms at night, and he'll check on us. We can hear him coming up the steps, mm-hmm. and we'll hear him come into our room and check on us. And actually, when I rearranged my bedroom, he would bump into my bed.
Wow.
The reason I say he, I've never seen him. But the reason I say he is because there's been times that I'm a smoker, and I almost fallen asleep with a cigarette, and I'll hear my name. And it's a man. It's not my husband, but it's a man's voice.
Wow. Hmm.
So that's why I say he. But and he'll go in and he'll check on, at the time, my stepdaughter and then my son, and then he'll just disappear.
Huh.
And my husband and I separated for a while, and I moved out, and he followed me. He had been in my husband's house prior to us being together, but he followed me. My husband said he was not there. We were gone.
My goodness. You have a spiritual Jeeves.
A
butler.
If there's any way that I can become more sensitive to spirits, I guess you want to say, because this is the only time that I've ever had this experience,
mm-hmm.
and I think it very awesome. I mean, like I said, I'm a smoker. I've never set my cigarettes on top of the TV stand. When we got new carpet, moved the TV stand out, there was five or six almost full packs of cigarettes that I've lost back there.
Wow.
I mean, it's
he doesn't want you to smoke.
He's hiding them.
Yeah, he's protecting you.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like it's a very protective, you know, joker also, you know, and we have no idea who it is. My stepdaughter likes to think it's a grandfather. My husband doesn't think so. My son is severely ADHD, and he talks to him.
Does he talk back?
He said he has. He's never told me what the conversations are. My son hasn't. But he's told me, he says, Mom, I talk to him all the time.
Wow.
And I've actually heard him in his bedroom talking, and it's like, who are you talking to? And he'll say, the guy. You know, he's never seen a name or anything. It's just
and,
the guy.
And he's never frightened, Jamie,
no,
right?
Never.
It sounds like none of you are frightened. I think that's really neat.
No, none of us, you know, and my stepdaughter will talk to him. He's never talked back to her, but she had a conversation. She would talk to him, you know, just.
Well, here's something interesting for both of you. Jessica, I've got a friend who's got a house that's haunted, and he and his wife, first of all, thought this was kind of fun and novel, and now whatever's in there is starting to get a little mean.
Mm-hmm.
There's a progression they've noticed of this meanness, and they don't know why. I put him in touch with Marianne Winkowski, who's been on our program. You know, she's a consultant with CBS.
Mm-hmm.
On the Ghost Whisperer, and of course she's a channeler in her own way.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why these apparitions, these entities, get mean after a while. They start off friendly and fun.
Yeah, I haven't experienced or heard about that, except that when we bought a house 3 years ago. That was built in 1934, which is nothing for the East Coast, but it's very old for Oregon. And there was this one room that my sister Valerie, they were up for Christmas 3 years ago, and she was in the bathroom and the guest room, and turned the water off, turned around, and the water went back on. And she said, gee, I guess, well, it's an old house. So she turned the water off again and went back on. And then she said she knew at that moment that this was, it scared her to pieces. And this was not a happy camper.
No, they get very serious. Hey, we're out of time, Jessica.
Oh.
I want to thank you for being on the program, and good luck with your work and your very special book as well. Roll Around Heaven. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.